Well, last month, the Lord had focused our attention on His heart for others. We talked about how much God loves people. And we're reminded that the church, that's us, that we are called to participate in His mission. His mission of being His witnesses, of bringing His kingdom, of building His family, of being His light. We get to be part of the amazing God stuff that He's doing and is going to do. We get to be part of it. But as we move forward in this high calling, some of us go, I don't know what to do. I'm a little fearful. How does this all happen? And so as we look forward and start to walk forward into this high calling of being the church, of partnering with Jesus, as we take action, we're going to make sure that we pray. That we bathe this thing in prayer. And not just once, not just twice, but we continue to live this lifestyle of prayer, going to God and trusting in Him. We need His power. We need His presence. We need His protection as we operate as the church, participate with Him. And so what do? We pray. We pray. Now, we're a praying church here at Evident Life. Amen? We are. In fact, we talk about the roots of an Evident Life go deep. Discipleship, evangelism, encountering the presence of God, and prayer. Prayer is the last one, but that's not because it's the least important. It's because it is the most important. It's the taproot, the deepest, most central, dominant root in the church that feeds the rest of the church with those supernatural nutrients, with the very presence and plans and heart of God. Prayer is where we touch God's heart and He touches our heart. It's in the place of prayer. It's in that communion with God. So we pray. We're a praying church. You go out, I've talked about it many times recently. Go out to our church calendar. You're going to see the majority of the gatherings are prayer gatherings. This calendar that's up on the screen right now is our prayer room calendar. And this is available for you as a member of this church, as part of this congregation, for you to register for a user ID and sign up for time in the prayer room. Personal time, you can start your own prayer meeting, whatever it might be. In fact, we have an email address that you can email if you're interested in getting online and participating in this. It's prayerroom@arizonaprayer.com. Prayerroom@arizonaprayer.com. You'll probably get that link also in your church news. But we are a praying church, and you look at all that is going on in the house of prayer because it is the central, most dominant thing. In the church, we're called to be a house of prayer. And so we are. Prayer is a powerful gift given to us by God. Because prayer can move heaven and earth. Literally. Prayer can change things. And it will change things. Jesus, the Son of God, God Himself, as He walked as a man on this earth, He was a man of prayer. He didn't mess around. He didn't just go through life hoping and just believing, well, everything's going to work out because I'm the Son of God. He went to prayer. He spent time in prayer with the Heavenly Father, crying out, pleading, believing, receiving, even from Him. Jesus did that, man. Prayer, powerful gift that's been given to us as God's children. With this in mind, I feel led to turn our attention to some prayers that are presented in God's Word. Everybody got your Bible? There's some prayers right there in the Word of God that I want to make sure that we're aware of. There are timeless, Holy Spirit-led prayers that have been prayed by the church and should continue to be prayed by the church and for the church. The Apostle Paul, the man who was led by the Holy Spirit to write half of the New Testament, prayed some amazing prayers. And he prayed many, many, many. In fact, most of his prayers that are recorded in Scripture were prayed for the church. He prayed prayers over the body of Christ. So we're going to be praying for the church this month, the month of August. Could somebody give me one of the prayer cards? I just want to make sure I have it for later. I've got one right here. Thank you. Came up without all my tools this morning. Just so excited with all the testimonies. Seriously. Do we hear that God is moving? Let's just take, stop and take a breath here, a little Selah moment. Do we understand? Are we recognizing the fact that God is moving in and through this church? As we get his heart and we'll step out and we'll talk and we'll stop and notice people that need help and we'll love them, we'll care for them. And God shows up in their lives, encounters their hearts, and people come out of darkness into the marvelous light. Do we see, do we recognize that God is moving right now? I was talking about this with some folks this week. Sometimes we get so future-minded that we miss the present glory of God that is happening right here and right now. God is here now. He's available right now. He's moving right now. Do you perceive it? I'm perceiving it. And as we continue to go out and be the church and come and give testimonies of how God is moving, he is glorified. He's glorified. So we're going to be praying this month as we launch into our calling and move forward in being the church and partnering with God in his mission. And we're going to turn to some of the prayers that the Apostle Paul prayed. And we're going to talk about being a church that prays like Paul. We want to pray like Paul, like the Apostle Paul. And the first prayer that I want us to look at from the Apostle Paul is found in Romans chapter 15. So turn with me to Romans chapter 15. Paul prayed this over the church. And I want to underscore this. This is a prayer that was led by the Holy Spirit, inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's in Scripture. It's in the Logos here, in the Word of God. So it's an important prayer for us to look at. The Apostle Paul prayed this over the church. He said, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement. How many of you need some endurance and encouragement right now? Yeah, the church has always needed this. We're people. We need endurance and encouragement. But let me say this. God has it for us. If we would only ask and lean on him and not on our own understanding or strength. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you, church, give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus. So that, why? Why have the unity? So that with one heart and mouth, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The prayer continues in verse 13. May the God of hope, how many of you need hope? Hope, it's ours in Christ Jesus. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's an amazing prayer. Prayed over the church. If we're going to pray like Paul, then we need to be praying for unity. That's what he was praying for here in Romans 15. Praying like Paul, being spirit-led in our prayers even, is going to involve praying for unity. Unity in the church. Unity among believers. It's important. Unity is a condition of harmony. It's the quality or state of being made one. It's a totality of related parts. The Strong's Concordance takes this word used by the Apostle Paul, unity, in this passage in Romans 15, and it's defined as to be of the same mind, agreed together, cherish the same views, to be harmonious, unity, a spirit of unity, to be over the church family, to be over the body of Christ. Why is Paul praying for unity? Why is unity important to God? Well, in God's economy, unity builds up. Division tears down. And God wants his church to be built up. And so he has his children, his church, praying for unity, seeking unity, and living in unity, because unity builds up while division tears down and tears apart. Abraham Lincoln, one of my favorite presidents, he gave this speech where he said, "A house divided against itself cannot stand. I believe this government cannot endure, permanently half slave and half free. I do not expect the union to be dissolved. I do not expect the house to fall, but I do expect it will cease to be divided. It will become all one thing or all the other thing." President Lincoln, June 16th, 1858. Where did President Lincoln get this understanding? He got it from Jesus. He was quoting Jesus, where Jesus, it's recorded in Mark 3:25, Jesus says, "If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand." Oh, I long for our elected officials to lead us with the truth and from the righteousness that God gives us in His Word. I long for our elected officials, for our leaders in Washington and in the states and in local government to be grabbing hold of the truth that's in God's Word and to lead us into that truth. We've had it in this nation in the past. Don't give up. Don't believe it can't happen again, because it can happen again. Can God do a new thing? He can. I mean, we read throughout the Old Testament and we read how Israel, they went this way and that way. They were for God and they were blessed. And then they sinned against Him and they turned their backs on Him and they fell. They just were torn apart. It was horrible. But then they turned back to God. Can this nation turn back to God? It can. It can. Don't give up. Don't hide under a rock. Be the light. Go be the light. And just bring the truth and the righteousness of God. Division will cause things to crumble. Division will cause a church to crumble. Did you know that? Division will cause a church to experience less than. Division will keep a church from their destiny. Division, now check this out. Division will run God away. Division. Often we think, where is God? Where is God? I think we need to look at our lives, and I'm not talking about this church in general right here, because I want to get and just let you know, this church has so much unity, it's unbelievable, and I believe that's why we have so much blessing from the Lord even right now. Because of the unity of heart and mind, we truly love one another and prefer one another, pray for one another, and care for one another. That's because of unity. That we have so many good things from God. But disunity will actually run God away. Disunity will do that. We talked about the lampstand that's discussed in Revelation 2 and 3 earlier, didn't we? About how the lampstand is there with a church. But if that church continues to walk away from God, that the lampstand, the very presence of God, the light of God, will be removed from that place. Division is one of those things that can cause the lampstand to be removed from a church, that can cause God to walk away from that place because of division. Division is nasty. Ugh. It'll cause a house to crumble. Division causes cracks and voids. Does anybody have a water bottle? There's a water bottle right down there. Let me see that water bottle. Woo, that was cool. You threw it at me. Awesome. I love this church. So check out this water bottle right now. This water bottle is holding water in it. And that's a good thing. It's not all over the floor. It's not pouring out on me. But what happens if we start to bring division to this plastic water bottle right now? There will be cracks that will come. Division causes cracks. Division causes voids. Where there are cracks and where there are voids, this water will start to seep out and you'll have nothing left in this water bottle, will you? Division will cause this bottle to become empty without anybody getting to enjoy what's inside of it. Division. It'll do the same thing in a church. Division will cause cracks and voids and separations in a church. It'll cause that in a family. And what will seep out? God, peace, joy, hope, love, those things, all the things of God will start to seep out without the people being able to enjoy them. It'll just start running out because of cracks. So division, ugh, it's nasty. God hates it. But here's the rest of the truth, the other side of the story. A house or a church that is living in unity will stand. A house, a church, a family that's living in unity will endure, will flourish, will experience peace. A church that's walking in unity is going to walk in power, not weak, but powerful. Will walk in miracles. A church that is fully unified will actually hold the very presence of God. Be a place where the presence of God is there, not leaking out and being wasted, but actually there, being experienced and enjoyed by the family of God. Unity brings the presence, the favor, the blessing, the provision, the protection, the love, the joy, the peace of God. Unity houses that. Unity, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Unity is powerful. I've mentioned it before. We are a church that's united in Christ Jesus. It's unbelievable. I've said it so many times. As an elder team, for instance, the four of us, we walk out of our elder meetings, I mean, unified. And it's no joke. It's not like we had to negotiate unity in that meeting. I mean, we walk out sincerely, awesome best friends, loving one another, high-fiving, on the same page, and rejoicing with one another of what God has done, what He's doing, and what He's about to do in the church and in each other's lives. And that permeates throughout this body. It's just amazing to see how you love one another and care for one another, prefer one another, build one another up, and don't tear one another down. And that unity is propelling this church into the calling that God has for us. And it's no joke. I mean, unity is going to allow us to hold and to house things that God wants to do in us and through us that are going to blow our minds. Unity. And so the Apostle Paul prays for unity in the church because he understands how powerful and important unity is. Yes, and I just want to say, as we're talking about this from the perspective of a church, again, this principle, this biblical precept flows right into our homes, right into our marriages, right into our relationships with our siblings, right into the place of work if you're on a team and you're leading a team and you're part of a team in the workplace. Unity is powerful. So the future is bright here at Evident Life because we have unity. Paul wasn't alone in praying for unity within the church. Let's listen to Jesus. This is found in John chapter 17. The Gospel of John chapter 17, beginning verse 20. The words of Jesus. Jesus says, "My prayer is not for them alone, not just for His existing current disciples and followers. My prayer is not just for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one." I just want to pause just for a moment and just say, you see, I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. Do you see the connection between the presence of the glory of God and unity? The presence of God and unity, the glory of God and unity, the power of God and unity. It's right there. Jesus is letting us, is reminding us of that. Verse 23. "So I and them and you and me, may they be brought to complete unity." So there's a level of unity, but then there's another level of unity, more unity, complete unity. So as amazing as the unity is in this church, there's even more that we can experience. I love more. I love more. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Unity is powerful. It reflects the Godhead. It reflects the relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it's designed to be in the church. It's designed for the church to reflect the Godhead, to reflect God through our unity. Unity draws people to Jesus. It's beautiful. Therefore, unity in the family of God is the prayer of our Savior Jesus. So there's great blessing that flows out of unity. Why? Because it glorifies God. Unity glorifies God. And so with glorifying God comes blessing. In verse 6, going back to Romans 15, in verse 6, it says, with one heart and mouth, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Unity glorifies God. Arguing, complaining, trying to get our own way, pursuing our own agendas, accusing. That stuff doesn't glorify God. That makes him sick. Makes him want to run away. Let's just be real about it. Makes me want to run away. Makes you want to run away. All that stuff, grumbling, complaining, yuck. But unity, woo! God's all over it. It glorifies him, and he will show up in a place of unity. Show up in power. Beautiful. But look at this. It's not just the unity of the heart, but it's also the unity of the mouth that the Apostle Paul is talking about here. It's unity of heart. We kind of get that, one heart. But it's also unity of mouth. Reminds me of testimony. It's a unity of our testimony of who Jesus is with one heart and one mouth. And we know that the tongue has the power of life and death in it. Proverbs tells us that. It has the power of life and death. So what we speak out is so important. And it's important that the church be speaking things that build unity, that build each other up, that bring together, that hold together. You know, it's so popular right now, and it makes me sick. And I almost fell for this about 8, 9, 10 years ago. On Facebook, you know, to go out and to just slander all these other ministries out there and these other churches that just don't have it right, you know, because they don't do it the way we do it. They don't sing the songs we sing. They don't pray the way we pray. They don't do this or do that. And so we go out and we, you know, we just throw around, well, they're this and they're that. And I'm looking at that. I'm going, we're tearing our own selves apart. The church is tearing itself apart. Through breeding disunity and division in slandering and accusing one another. And it doesn't glorify God. It doesn't. We need to be careful. I didn't have that in my notes, but man, it's something that we need to watch out for and not fall for that trap of the enemy to be part of those types of things. Let's shine the light. The world needs to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Doesn't need to hear how we're not all on the same page with every single little T crossed and I dotted here. It needs to hear that we love Jesus and he loves you. Can we introduce you to him and let him come and change your life? Unity glorifies God. And so there's power in our tongues, the power of life and death. Our words matter and our words are powerful. And God wants us to use our words to bring life, to bring unity. And that glorifies him. So how can we glorify God with our mouths? Let me hit a few points here, just very briefly. First, unity of mouth is found in our testimonies. And you know what? We're becoming a church that is good at testifying of God's goodness. We're hearing it Sunday after Sunday now. We're glorifying God in that. You want to know how to use your mouth to glorify God and bring unity? Testify of God's goodness and what he's doing in your life and through your life. It glorifies God. And I've been praying this, and Velvet and I were in the prayer room on Friday, either this Friday or last Friday. I don't remember which one it was, but we were in there and we just felt the Lord leading us into praying for the spirit of testimonies to just come all over this church, that it would be part of our culture, part of who we are, that we would be a people that never miss an opportunity to testify how great God is in our lives. That when God does anything in our lives, brings any kind of deliverance, any kind of healing, when we see God move in our lives, through our lives, that we tell people about it. Because you know what? We're not good at that overall as a church. The overall body of Christ in America, we're just this microwave culture, and we forget. And 2 hours ago, God did something amazing in my life, and I'm already on to my next thing, and I'm just wondering, oh man, how is this going to work out? And is God going to show up for this? And you know what? He just healed you 2 hours earlier. Have you told anybody about that? Have you glorified God? Do you appreciate it? I mean, if somebody came and gave you $1 million, would you not run around telling everybody about it? If somebody gave Jeremy $1 earlier just because he made him laugh, he's telling the whole church about it. Woo! I got $1. This is awesome. God's moving in our lives. He's showing up in amazing ways. And a way that we can glorify Him is to testify of that. And so you're going to see things start to show up. If you're in the prayer room, you're going to see there's a whiteboard, and we've relaunched that thing. Put your testimonies up there and your prayer requests. Don't miss out on that. We're going to put something out in the lobby here, and it's going to be a board for you to put on these big sticky notes. Testimonies of God's goodness. We want to memorialize. The people of God were brought across the river, and they built a memorial to make sure that they would never forget God's deliverance and His goodness. We got to do that. We got to be those people. We can't fall for this microwave culture that we're in, that we just move on to the next thing that we think is a problem, and we forget that God's so big and so good. So we can actually bring unity in the church. Do you know how much it builds us up when we testify about God's goodness? Do you know how encouraging that is? When I'm up here and I hear a testimony and I'm shouting out, Jeff, what Jeff did was amazing. That not only builds up the whole body, but I'm building Jeff up and I'm saying, good job, brother. Do it. Keep doing it. Keep bringing Jesus into people's lives, and we will see darkness have to just run away and the light of Christ come. This is how we do life with one another. We don't come together and say what's all wrong with the world. We come together and say Jesus is right for the world. Let's go. Let's bring him. Unity of mouth is found in our testimonies. Number two, unity of mouth is found in our praise and worship. Unity of mouth in our praise and worship. That just makes sense, doesn't it? We come together in unity, and we have the words even up on the screen so that we can sing the same thing, make the same declarations powerfully together, united. God's word talks about don't forsake the gathering of the saints. Why? Because when we come together, one of the reasons is when we come together, we're bringing our gifts, we're bringing our lives, we're bringing our mouths, and we're joining together in unity to glorify God and testify of His goodness. Unity of mouth is powerful. When we come together, that happens. I want to encourage you, I don't care if you can hold a tune or whatever, you can shout out the goodness of God during praise and worship. And it's beautiful to the ears of our Lord and Savior Jesus, who hung on a cross and bled out for us. It's beautiful when we shout it out together. He is good, our mighty warrior. He's our deliverer. When we sing praises in unity together, woo, the power of God will come on our lives. Let's not miss out on that opportunity. God's inviting us to receive more of Him, right? Let's come, be unified in mouth and praise and worship Him. It builds and releases unity, glorifies God, brings peace, joy, and releases power. Number three, unity of mouth is found in our encouraging one another. It's another way that we can build unity with our mouths. Encouraging one another, it says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. And I love the rest of that. Just as in fact you're doing, because you're doing it. I'm preaching the choir this morning. It's beautiful. I mean, most times I'm preaching the choir. This is an amazing church of people who love Jesus and love other people. It's just amazing. I'm so blessed to hear what's going on in the life of the body. Sometimes I get upset because I'm like, how come I didn't hear about that earlier? That's awesome. You're supposed to tell your pastor all those things, you know. But there's just so many amazing things. You're encouraging one another. You're building one another up. You're serving one another. And that's a way that we build unity. And where there's unity, there's power of God and the presence of God. So unity is very powerful. Check out the results of unity as I close. In verse 13 of Romans 15. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. These are results. This is what flows out of unity. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul is showing us that unity releases joy. Unity releases peace. Unity releases hope. Unity releases power. It's beautiful. It's awesome. So there's no wonder why the Apostle Paul was praying this over the church. I mean, he and Jesus. I mean, God wants the church to be filled with joy and peace and hope and power. That's what God wants for you. When you're experiencing the opposite of this stuff, that's not the will of God. That's not His plan for your life. You're His precious child. He has good gifts for us. And He wants His church, and we're His church, His children, His church. He wants us to be experiencing joy, peace, hope, and power. That's what He wants to release in our lives and through our lives. And unity is a key ingredient to that releasing. Unity. And here's the other point. The world needs a church that is filled with power. The world needs the church to be filled with power, to be filled with joy, peace, and hope. Because the world only has hurt and hopelessness and pain, frustration to offer. That's all they have. The church needs to be filled with Jesus. And that filling happens where there is unity. And I praise God that it is happening here in our midst. And that the power of God is being released in our midst. And that the testimony of that power and goodness is being heard by us here in our midst. And it's all God. It's everything that He's started and everything that He's doing and everything that He will complete. It's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ at work in a group of people who just say, God, have your way. Have your way. So let's pray like Paul. I'd like everybody to stand up at this time. I'm hoping that you've received this prayer card when you walked in today. And if you didn't, we will have more in the lobby. And you'll be able to grab these. These are prayer cards that were put together, I don't know, 6-8 months ago for the church. And they have prayer points on here. And there are some points on one side, the side that says pray on it. And halfway down, it says pray for our church body. I would like everybody to have this card and to use this card this month. I would ask everybody in this church family to pray these prayers over the church every day this month, the month of August. And obviously, this isn't the only month we pray. We're a house of prayer, a praying church. But this month, I want us to focus our prayers on praying for the church, just like the Apostle Paul did so many times. We're going to look in Ephesians at a couple others of his prayers that he prayed over the church. It's important that we're praying over the church. So I want to ask you to take these cards and make it a point to pray these prayers over our church family as we step out and be the body of Christ and bring His kingdom and His love into a broken world. So with every head bowed right now, and let's just raise our hands. I want to pray this prayer from Romans 15 over us before we conclude. God, we ask that You would give us endurance and give us encouragement. We thank You, God, that You are the giver of endurance and encouragement. We recognize that this all comes from You, God, that You're the author and the perfecter of our faith and of our hope and of our everything. And God, we ask You that You fill us even right now and that You would give us an increased spirit of unity here at Evident Life Church, God. God, that with one heart and with one mouth, Lord, that we would glorify You, our Lord and Savior, that we would give You glory in all that we say, all that we do, God, and who we are. God, that our mouths would open up to encourage one another, to build one another up, that our mouths, God, would be open in unity, in praise and worship, God, and that You would receive the glory that You are due, Lord. That we would be a church that is just infused with a culture of testifying of Your goodness, God. Grow that here. God, grow that here, God, because You're worthy and we love You and we want to be united in testifying of Your goodness and all You've done in us, through us, and for us. So, God, You are the God of hope. May You fill us, God, with all joy and with all peace because we trust You. Fill us, God, with Your joy and Your peace. We thank you that that is our portion. God, we ask that we would overflow with hope. And we testify even right now that Jesus, you are our hope. You're our deep desire. You're our great expectation. Overflow us right now. Overflow us, Jesus, with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here and that you release power in your church and through your church so that your will and your plans would be accomplished in us, but also through us, to transform a town, to impact the world for your glory. God, we thank you that you love your church, that you love us. And God, I just thank you even now as the pastor of this church at Evident Life for the amazing unity that you have caused to be evident in this place. I thank you for my brothers and sisters who truly love you and truly love one another. God, I thank you that you are bringing us into complete unity. It's exciting. And Lord, I also just pray for the spirit of unity, God, to fill every husband and wife in this room. Every marriage, God, would just be filled with the spirit of unity right now. Every family, God, every relationship between mother and daughter and mother and son and son and dad and son and mother, God, every sibling relationship, God, that the homes and families and marriages in this church, God, would overflow with the spirit of unity, God, that would glorify you, Lord, that would bring that peace, joy, hope, and love and power. God, we receive your spirit of unity right now, this gift that comes from you. We receive it. We can't manufacture it. We just say thank you for it. We receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Amen.